This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 to hop aboard. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us one day after the start of the new league year. We had a great time yesterday. I want to thank everyone that came out to McGurk's in Royersford, as we were told yesterday.
Royersford. Y'all been saying it wrong and people got mad.
Yeah, but that's all right. We enjoyed our time. Thank you to everyone coming out.
Thank you.
It was a fun day. Now, the Eagles didn't do much. They did let Darius Slay go, which we thought was coming. He goes to the Steelers. And they did acquire later in the day an offensive player. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Allow me this moment. I really don't have any words of wisdom to drop, but I just want to tell people how dedicated I am to this show and to you two guys.
Wow. Okay, here we go.
Some news dropped last night that really had me, you know, really debating on whether or not I was going to come to work today. Like, seriously, all jokes aside. Mm. So, Don Robinson, the singer for En Vogue, and if you don't know En Vogue, back in the day, they dropped a video called Hold On To Your Love that changed a lot of black young men's lives back in the day. She posted a video yesterday, and she said that she's homeless. She's living in her car by choice. And I went in my closet, and I was about to dust off my cape, and I was going to fly to Vegas because I was going to save her. There is no way on God's green earth that Dawn Robinson should be living in her car. But then as soon as I was about to jump in my truck and head to the airport, the news came out that A.J. Dillon was picked up by the Eagles. And I said, you know what? As much as I would love to go save Don, my people need me because they're going to need to understand what has transpired over these 24 hours.
So you were going to be hero either way.
No, because if I was going to go save Don. But hero, I said, you guys, I love you so much that I had to be here to support my Philadelphia Eagles fan base.
All right, well, now that
so
you...
So I sacrificed.
Okay, you sacrificed. And we're sacrificing defensive players left and right, all right, for another offensive guy. Now, the A.J. Dillon thing, I actually think it's a cool signing. I thought it was a promising start to his career. He'll come in here, compete to be the second back. Hopefully stays healthy. He's had a lot of neck injuries. But, Hugh, I know it wasn't lost on you as you joke around there that they let all the defensive players go, and
I'm not going to harp on.
And when the first player they sign happens to be on the offensive side of the football with A.J. Dillon yesterday, so something really hit me yesterday, Hugh.
And what hit you?
Well, sometimes you ever have it something obvious eventually.
It like hit you like a ton of bricks.
A ton of bricks.
You mean kind of like what I was trying to tell you like 2 years ago?
No, never mind. It's not about you being right. It's about the Eagles being wrong. You're missing the point, okay? Or the Eagles at least potentially being wrong. We shall see as the next couple years play out. But here's what hit me yesterday. So we're doing the Burris Town Hall, and you kind of start lining up who they've let go, who they retained, and where all the resources are. And for the first time in a very long time, I think we can all say this together. I know we've disagreed a lot recently on the Eagles' moves, but we can all say this. The Eagles, for the first time in a long time, seem to have more monetary constraints, right? It's not just they can get over they want. They've got cap concerns now for the first time in a long time. And when you look at Why? It's because they've already spent the money. They've allocated a lot of money into not just this year, but in future years. And Hugh, it's pretty obvious to me, and anyone that can pull up Over the Cap or any of these sites that, list the salaries for players and where they're spending their money, Hugh, this will not surprise you, and you'll be delighted to hear it, that the Eagles for next season have $133 million committed to the offense, only $74 million to the defense. Eight of their first nine cap hits, top nine cap hits, are on the offensive side of the football. Yeah. Nine of their top 11. So, Hugh, this is what hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday. As we watch offensive players get new contracts the last couple of years and defensive players that they probably want to keep, they're saying goodbye to. The Eagles have spent too much money. They've allocated too many resources. They've poured too much money into the offense, Hugh. It's come to the point where I think they have too much money on the offensive side of the football, and it's now costing them good defensive players. 215-592-9494. Have the Eagles spent too much? Have they allocated too much to the offensive side of the football? As I view this, as they're losing players on defense and they've got all the money wrapped up in offense, I think they have too much tied up on that side of the football. Hugh Douglas, you know, I caution myself, but what do you think about this?
First of all, I am not going to do what people expect me to do in a situation like this. I'm gonna handle myself with some decorum and some dignity. I'm not gonna act like, you know, I tried to tell y'all this like 2 years ago. I'm not gonna do that.
Okay.
What I'm gonna say is this. I mean, because this is simple math. When you look at the defensive side of the ball and the guys that they let go. You know, we can make an argument about snap counts and how much they played and all this other stuff. They're expendable, and they've shown you that with the number of plays that they've played and all this other stuff. The bottom line is this. They have found a winning formula for their quarterback and his skill set, regardless of, you know, what you feel about his numbers and everything like that. They're leaning into that. And for everybody that's worried about the Super Bowl run from last year and the way that we won, I can't think of any NFL team that has won a Super Bowl that has won it the same way 2 years in a row. You have to evolve and you have to change. Think about it like that, people. I know it's hard to do because we're in the moment and we see all these players leaving. And I get your text and I see the emails and text messages and stuff. This is not easy to do, and you have to evolve and change. And you know what? To be honest, when I saw the pickup of A.J. Dillon, And I thought about this offense. I thought about how it can evolve. Now, he's been hurt, and they're taking a flyer on a guy who's been oft hurt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you talk about 18 touchdowns, when he's out there and he's healthy, and you talk about the ability to put him in there with Saquon and have a change of pace back with Will Shipley, and you know, for whatever reason – When you change a running back in a game, if you're going into a game and you're game planning for one guy and another guy comes in and they call it a change of pace back, for whatever reason, that's hard to defend for a defender because you're used to practicing for one type of runner, and when that runner changes, it throws your defense in a tizzy. So what the Eagles have done inadvertently, they've made their offense harder to defend because when I look at A.J. Dillon being back there, if he plays 15 or 20 snaps a game, those are 15 or 20 snaps that you have to know where he is. And if they by any chance put him and Saquon in the backfield at the same time and have Jalen back there as well, that's hell for a defense because that's a matchup problem. So that's what they just leaned into. Their offense, and they've given their quarterback, their Super Bowl MVP champion quarterback, they've given him another weapon.
Well, they have, and that was the first move they made when the new league year started was to release Slay officially and to go get an A.J. Dillon. Well, hopefully he can stay healthy and help this team. That signing is cool to me. I think it's a fun signing to add to the backfield. But what's hit me the last couple days is it's come to a head now. Like the last few years, Hugh, to your credit, you saw this coming. You saw the tea leaves. You read them. But what was different until now was it didn't seem to stop them if they wanted a defensive player, right? Like if they wanted to go get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they wanted to bring him back last year, right? They brought him back. They had the money to acquire defensive players if they wanted them. Now it feels like, because of all the commitments they made to offense, they're saying goodbye to guys that I don't even know if they want to actually say goodbye to, but the reality is they don't have money left.
Well, look at it like this. When you talk about this defense, and you talk about some of the guys that we let go, save Milt Williams, because, you know, somebody, you're going to tell me, like, I know that there's going to, not you, but I'm just saying, people going to say he played a lot of snaps. But when you look at defensive players in this day and age compared to offensive players, they're rotational guys. Never was like that when I played. You know, and I, you know, hate to go back in the time machine and talk about back in my day, but 60 snaps a game was that was what I did.
Yep.
That's how I played. Didn't come off the field. Only time I came off the field was when it was definite goal line situations. You get paid for that. Just like Jalen Carter this year, everybody's marveling at the fact that he's playing 80 snaps a game because he's that guy. Like, I can't say it to you any simpler than that, and they've identified him. He is the most important guy on the field because he's always on the field. Everybody else is interchangeable. No disrespect to Brandon Graham, but we've talked about this. Brandon likes to point out the fact that, oh, man, if you would have been in this NFL, you probably could have played longer. Because they take care of you. You're only playing 30 snaps a game. Think about that. Josh Sweat, 30 snaps a game. Milton Williams, probably 40 or 50 snaps a game. Jordan Davis, 12, 15 snaps a game. Like, they're getting paid good money for being rotational players, but your money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball because they never come off the field. Your offensive line gets paid because they never come off the field.
Yeah, I mean,
Lane Johnson plays every snap.
The lineman, quarterback, and the two receivers durability, play probably 90 to 100%
durability,
snaps.
Durability is a huge factor in the NFL, and that's why the money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball.
I understand that. So here's my point on this. In 215-592-9494, I want to play for you in a second something interesting Joe Banner said on the morning show today. Hugh, sometimes fans have, like, I want it this way, I want it that way. You know what I want? I want what works. That's all I want. So if the Eagles' offense last year was number one in the NFL in every category, and their defense was 11th, 12th, 13th, then I'd be fine with this because they're getting their money's worth on the offense. That's carrying the team. What is striking to me is their defense was the best in the NFL, and they're using that as, like, replaceable parts. The offense, for all the money they poured into it, and I know they were at their best in the title game and Super Bowl. So if you want to call and tell me they scored 1,000,000 points in the title game and Super Bowl, I know. We all watched it. They played their best in the biggest two games. Great. But for the whole season, that wasn't who they were. They were 11th in yards per play. They were 7th in points per game. Like, if that's who they are, they're paying too much for this offense. Now, if the offense can be great all year, then the strategy, Hugh, that you've talked about and they're doing, I think, is fine. But this offense better be top five, better be top three, because that's where all the money is.
What if I told you, and I know it's hard for people to see, but again, I think it has to be mentioned every time we talk about this defense. And what they were able to accomplish. That doesn't normally happen in a one-year setting.
Right.
The way that they played.
Yep.
And the fact that it came together the way that it did. I think there's some factors, some intangibles in that, why it happened that way, that we don't know about. And I think one of them is the developmental plan that they have with Connor Barwin. I think Connor Barwin, that's a guy who has been here, has played the game, who a lot of people don't hear his name a whole lot, but he's a part of player development and helping players transition to NFL players. I think that's huge. I think that's why the Eagles have leaned into these young guys, playing these young guys more.
I think you're right. And look, it worked last year. Maybe, and it might work again, and that's the plan. And they're going to draft a lot of these guys and hope they're going to play. I just feel like they've gone too far with it. Like, if they hadn't paid one or two of these offensive guys, and to be clear, I'm not talking about Jalen. He's the quarterback. If you believe in him, you're going to have to pay him. But the Eagles have expensive players now, as if this conversation, like in this moment, double-digit millions per year or decking contracts at quarterback, running back, two wide receivers, tight end. We'll see what happens with Goddard. Left tackle, right, left guard, center. Eventually, I think this offseason they'll pay Juergens. And right tackle. Meanwhile, we could barely find pennies to pay a defensive player. I mean, to me, they've gone too far. 215-592-9494. Joe Banner on this morning with the morning show talking about the Eagles.
Joe Banner.
He was. And listen, talking about the cap situation, what they can do, what they can't do at this point.
You're seeing right now they have to make some choices that they probably would prefer not to and lose some people that were still in a position that could have helped them. And going forward, it loosens back up, not all the way to where they were. It's mainly driven by the fact that they've taken the approach that they're going to always push forward cap charges, so take the lower charge now and the higher charge later, which dramatically increases your chance of having to take what in the league we would call miscellaneous charges, which is charges left for players no longer in your team.
Mm-hmm.
So as you take the risk of that, there is some price to pay. So, you know, this year the Eagles have almost $50 million in miscellaneous charges. So the league is basically working around. They got off here at $280 million cap. The Eagles really only have $230 million to spend. That's the reason that you're seeing them need to leave. Let some players go that they prefer to keep.
Players that they'd prefer to keep that they're letting go. And why is that? Well, it's probably for a few reasons, salary cap-wise, but one of the biggest, they've allocated all the money to the offense.
Allocated all the resources.
215-592-9494. Have the Eagles put too much money? Have they tied too much money up on the offensive side of the football based on the results last year? 11th in yards per play, 7th in points per game. They better be better than that with all these defections on defense. Kyle, where do you come down? As you know, it's funny, this morning we get, he's not saying I told you so, but like I told you so, Douglas.
Oh,
he's hovering.
You should have seen him in the meeting. He was giggling. He's like, I'm not even going to say anything.
I'm not hovering.
Yo, you're here.
I mean,
baby.
I don't have to. I feel vindicated.
Well, you shouldn't, because you're going to be proven wrong when this defense takes a step back next season and the Eagles aren't as good because of it.
Well, I'm of the mindset that they might take a step back, but I still think the Eagles are going to be good. Mm-hmm. I do, because I think that, and I understand. See, Kyle. This is where I understand and I respect where you're coming from, but here's the thing. They're going to be a matchup nightmare for just look at our division. They're going to be a matchup nightmare for everyone in our division.
They were supposed to be this year.
But let me tell you what they've just done. And I don't know what A.J. Dillon is going to bring to the table, but he is a guy. Like, I didn't know what Saquon was going to bring to the table.
Well, okay, hold on. Can I just bring a dose of reality here to the A.J. Dillon thing?
Let me finish. Let me finish before you jump all over me.
Well, Joe asked me, so.
Well, it's because this is all the unknown, but I'm looking at it from a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He adds another layer to your running game.
Well, he might.
If he's healthy. Yeah.
I
mean,
say the same thing about Saquon Barkley last year.
No, but hold on. Saquon Barkley is a much more talented, much more proven player than A.J. freaking Dillon, who, by the way, is coming off a season-ending neck injury last year.
Do you know what I remember? I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. You got it.
A.J. Dillon could range anywhere from LeGarrette Blount in 2017 to Rashad freaking Penny, okay? We don't know what A.J. Dillon is. I understand we want to be excited about what A.J. Dillon might add to this offense. First of all, we have a new and unproven offensive coordinator who I don't know if he's going to know how to use A.J. Dillon and Saquon in the backfield at the same time. We never have two running backs in the backfield at the same time. Like, these are not things that the Eagles do, so I don't just assume that all of a sudden we have this new awesome dimension to the offense.
You got to have vision.
So it's an unknown at this point what the offense is. I'm bracing myself for the defense to take a step back next season. And I'm not sure that the offense is ready to pick up the slack. They weren't last season. Like, the Eagles were 29th in passing yards per game last year. And I understand that they had a great running game, but I don't just go into next season knowing how many times we gave Saquon Barkley the freaking ball that we're going to be able to replicate that. So, like, I just have a little bit of trepidation that the offense is going to be able to make up for what we lack on the defense. And let's be honest about what the defense is next year. They have holes now. They lost their starting corner. They lost their starting safety. They lost an edge rusher. And they lost a guy who took the second most defensive tackle snaps of anyone on the team. Like, and they lost the guy who was supposed to replace the number one corner in Isaiah Rodgers. Like, they have holes right now. So barring another big move to salvage this offseason on the defense, I feel like what you said, the Eagles are going to be good, and that's fine. But I don't want to just be good. I want to go back and win the Super Bowl again.
What if good is enough to get you to the Super Bowl?
It's not going to be.
Let me tell you
what we don't know. And I'm going to tell you from a perspective from a Giants fan, because last year we had that whole thing. We went halfway, you know, the halfway mark between Philadelphia and New York, and we had this little kumbaya moment. And I remember Giants fans telling me to a man that we weren't going to get that much for Saquon Barkley. We won't get that a lot out of him because he was hurt all the time. He wasn't that guy.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, no, I'm not. I know what you're saying, but I'm trying to draw a parallel to what you're saying and what the Giants fans were saying when we got Saquon Barkley, what they were telling me. And they were like, well, you know, he's going to be hurt and you guys are going to regret it and all this other stuff. It's kind of the same thing we're saying about A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, but A.J. Dillon, but
we have to stop at the A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon just missed the full season.
Let me finish. All I'm saying is this. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table.
Okay,
I'm not trying to say he's going to be the second coming of Saquon Barkley, but if he gives us more than if he gives us 15 snaps a game, that's more than
but
we have.
But that's what Kenny Gainwell gave us.
I got you. But he may be good.
What if I say he's a better runner than Kenny Gainwell?
Well, he might be.
We don't know.
But the issue,
he's a scrap heap running back on a 1-year deal.
Okay,
we have to stop
this.
What if
I tell you that the change of pace back means something? Because that, like, I understand. Listen, I understand that what I'm telling you is hard for people to grasp. I get that, and I'm not trying to make change your mind, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. It's not always the glass half empty. It's not
always the glass half full
and
either.
And then on the defensive 50, side 50. Of the ball, Kyle, there's opportunity there for some other young guys to shine.
So you're right about those things. It could have happened that way. My issue is strategically. It's not like A.J. Dillon can't play. I liked him when he was young. Before the neck injury, he looked like he was going to be a LeGarrette Blount kind of running back. I'm cool with that. If you get
half of that, that's still good.
My issue is that they are now losing players that, as Joe Banner said, they may want to keep because they've decided to pour all the money into the offense. And I'm sure a caller is going to say, Joe, they just won the Super Bowl. But can I also point out they won the Super Bowl, and that part of the team, the one they paid all the money to, that was the secondary part. The best part of their team last year was the one that they view as replaceable parts. And I'm like, wait a second. I get it. I understand the strategy. But if I knew this offense was going to be top two or three or four, then I'm okay with it because then it's worth the money. Last year, they were 7th or 11th, depending on where you look for your ranking. That to me is you're paying a lot for good, not great, and now you're taking the great and you're dismantling it because you got to keep the good. 215-592-949. Let's get a call here, and then we'll get to everyone today. We got a lot to do. I just feel yesterday hit me like a ton of bricks. They are pouring too much of their cap room into the offense, and now we got to deal with whatever we get left on defense. Troy is in Philadelphia. Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Troy?
Hey, it's the beginning of the year. I think we put too much energy in the what ifs, what could ifs. Look, last year, you know who was top number one as far as spending money on offense? Browns. You know where they went at? They wasn't in the championship. You know who's next? The Rams. You have Browns, Rams, Chiefs, Cowboys, Falcons, Giants, Colts, 49ers, Panthers, and Bengals that paid the most for their offense. Yeah, the Eagles paid, they were 20th for offensive pay. Okay, yeah, you want to look at the analytics as far as the numbers, and they need to be number one. No, we just need to be in a position to win games.
Well, no, but Troy, they were able to win those games last year with the way the offense was, which was good, not great, because they had the best defense. If the Eagles didn't have the top defense last year, the offense that we saw would not have been good enough to win 14 games.
You got to look at the scores, though, okay, because, I'm not taking nothing away from the defense. Okay, but yeah, the offense put up scores. And yeah, we had a good defense and we had good players, but it was the coaches that put the schemes in and made the players in a position to play the way they play. Them guys that we lost, they made money. They got money. Okay, and how we see the future? We wasn't going to pay Milton $108 million.
Because we can't, Troy. You're making it sound like they wouldn't want to. They can't.
No, we would want to, but you got to look at the future. You can't spend money now and put all your eggs in one basket
and then
look 2 or 3 years now and now we rebuild it because
I understand
we don't
have
the money.
Troy, I understand that. But
why?
I just want to ask you why. Now, if you and I agree that they probably if they had the money, they would have paid Milton. He's 26 years old, good player. They drafted him, all that. They couldn't. You're right, because they looked down the line. Why? Because they've poured all the money into the offense.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
When you look at the rank, and they only 20.
No, no, no. But you're looking at last year. I'm looking forward. As are they. They don't have any more money to spend on defense because they've poured it all into the offense.
No, you can't say they did that because
yes, they have.
Because Howie is a guru. Howie can manipulate and make moves.
Howie just traded a two-time Super Bowl safety because he can't afford him anymore.
No, what? What are you talking about, CJ?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why he did that,
okay.
And everybody can be blind to the fact because he didn't his demeanor did not match our culture.
Oh, okay.
He's a good player.
You heard.
Okay.
Did it match the culture last year? Did it match the culture last year?
Listen to me. He's a good player. Okay. But when his demeanor start messing with how the organization is built outside and off the field. Yo, you got to do something about that. You're not going to let somebody come in your house.
They brought him in here twice.
Okay, they brought him in twice, and he played his part. I'm not taking nothing away from him.
Hold on. They didn't wake up yesterday and realize who CJ GJ is, Troy. What changed? His demeanor didn't change. He's a goofball. Troy, I appreciate your phone call. CJ's been a goofball since he came out of Florida.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a goofball. Right, the Eagles knew that in 2022 when they traded for him. They knew it last year when they brought him back. Why are we making this so hard? He's not here. Now, there might be five factors.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them is clearly they have money issues. And part of the reason they have money issues is they've allocated all the money to offense. Let's come back. We'll get it. 215.
This is going to be a good day.
It's going to be a wild day. 215-592-9494. So either we're going to get honesty or coping today. It feels like one of the two. We'll see where we're at. Have the Eagles poured too much into the offense? I think they clearly have, and it's now affecting who they could keep on defense. Your call's there. Plus, we have a prize to give away. We'll give you a clue for how you could win that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. We'll talk about them in just a minute, Kyle, on the other side.